Hey folks, if you're in Austin, you're looking for some live music in the live music capital of the world, why not check out 2013-2014 Austin Chronicle Music Poll winner for Best All Ages Venue, Best Sounding Venue, and Best Venue. That's Strange Brew Lounge Side. Simply go to strangebrewloungeside.com, look on their calendar, and find out what's going on. From Joe Ely to Christopher Cross to the Glenn Miller Orchestra to Renfro, they're all playing there. Go to Strange Brew Lounge Side for yourself and find out what Austin's best venue has to offer. Go to strangebrewloungeside.com. Check it out. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. My friends Wild Adriatic are here from New York in Austin doing a residency and spending a month here. They're staying through South by Southwest. They came in a couple weeks ago and they're doing a residency every Saturday at the Empire Control Room. They have a new EP dropping March 17th. We've been hanging out since they've been here, and I went to their show the other night at Saturday night at the Empire Control Room. They opened for Quiet Company for their record release, for their record Transgressor. Fantastic show. I recommend that you go see this band. I was there with Frenchie Smith and his girlfriend Leslie and this guy Sean that works with Frenchie, great engineer, and they, hands down, they were like, this is a rock and roll band. If you want to see some rock and roll and you want to see a band that peels the paint off the walls with their jamming, this is the band. Not that they're jammy like Fish or something. They rock, man. That's what this band is about. Wild Adriatic is a fantastic rock band, and they're great friends, and this is their second time on the show. They were here last year when they were coming through when we first met, and we've stayed friends. I got over there for spaghetti dinners that their guy Jake made. Fantastic. They have a record called Big Suspicious, which is out on LP, CD, and of course on iTunes, and of course available on Spotify. We have a talk about that. Great, great talk about that, actually. They're very into it, and you'll find out why. Okay? So stay tuned for my conversation with Wild Adriatic. It's fantastic. And before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. As I said, on Saturday night, I went out to the Empire Control Room and I saw Wild Adriatic. They played at 7:30 and I hung out. I saw O Conqueror, fantastic band, and saw a lot of great bands. I had great conversations with Frenchie and Leslie and this guy Sean, as I said, and of course hung out with Wild Adriatic. We had a great time. And then Quiet Company took the stage. Amazing. Amazing as always, man. That band is just on fire when they play, man. They are. They're amazing. They're very inspiring. I love them. I love Taylor. He's a great guy. And the band, I met this guy, Matt, last week at a function and then saw him at the show, their bass player. Great guy, too. So we had a great conversation. He's got a studio. I'm going to go check it out. He has it with Casey McPherson from Alpha Rev. It's just a giant love fest going on. For me on Saturday night. That's what it was. It was a giant love fest, and I really had a great time. I'm kind of hoarse for it. I'm hoarse because I've been rehearsing a lot. Had a couple rehearsals on Friday, one with Skyrocket, and sang a bunch, and then went and rehearsed with Johnny in the Ladies Room, my ladies band, over at Kathy's place, sang a bunch, and then Saturday went back and sang a bunch. I've just been hoarse ever since. The weather got real, real cold all of a sudden today, and I'm actually sitting here wearing a scarf, and I'm wearing a Wild Adriatic hoodie, which I really enjoyed wearing. What else did I do? Last night I saw the Oscars with my dogs. I'm house-sitting for my ex-girlfriend and dog-sitting as well until Thursday. And me and the dogs watched the Oscars until I fell asleep at 8:30. And I live-tweeted. I wrote some insane stuff. I was sad. I was glad Birdman won, but I was sad that Boyhood didn't win. That was such a feat and such a touching film. I'm glad that Patricia Arquette won. That was a great thing. So I saw the Oscars a little bit, and I fell asleep about 9. That happens. Same thing happened with the Grammys. I think the big awards I just go to sleep for, you know. But I did see some speeches, and there was some talk about suicide and suicide awareness, and how that's coming really to the forefront, which is great. People are bringing these issues to the front, and there's a great nonprofit in town called Pick with Austin that my good friend Lori serves on the board of, and so Lori Hebert has come by, and we sat down and we talked about this fantastic nonprofit that gets instruments to kids that are in need, kids that are at-risk youth, people that need these instruments. So along with all of this suicide prevention, let's talk to Lori Hebert from Pick With Austin real quick and find out what's going on with Pick With Austin. All right, Lori, tell me what's going on here with Pick With Austin.
Well, Pick With Austin is a local nonprofit. It was started by Jeff Curley, who unfortunately he lost his teenage son, Alan, to suicide back in 2010. And Alan was a very giving person. He was a musician, loved music. So Jeff wanted to really carry out that legacy and help other teens in that same situation of being at risk for depression and suicide.
And so you guys help those teens by giving them instruments free of charge.
Yes, we donate mostly guitars, but any kind of musical instrument, especially stringed instruments, and also musical equipment, amps, tuners, straps, anything like that. We donate to kids who are in the juvenile justice system. We donate to kids at Dell Children's Hospital, youth groups, pretty much any kid who needs it and who's at risk of depression.
So even like I say, a parent is worried about their kid, mm-hmm. they can go to thepickwithaustin.com and kind of get a hold of someone and find out what can be done?
Well, we have a form online. So if you're interested in getting a guitar, you can fill out the form and tell us, you know, your financial situation, why you need it, how it would help you. And then we kind of take those forms at board meetings and we go over them and then we can donate from there. Yes, absolutely.
Right. And so this is a nonprofit and it comes mm-hmm. totally solely from donations from people. So if you have like an old instrument in your house, an old guitar, even if it doesn't work, an old amp, even if it's not working,
yes,
they can give it to you.
Yes, it doesn't have to work.
They can get a hold of you guys through Pick With Austin, or they can go down south to Space, Rehearsal and Recording, proud sponsor of this show, and donate any of their instruments
to them
there.
You can drop it there. Mm-hmm.
Drop it there, or go to pickwithaustin.com, and they'll tell you where to go and how to do it.
Yeah, we can coordinate from there. Sure. Yes, absolutely.
And you guys have a Facebook page and a Twitter, and you can access all of that through through the pickwithaustin.com. Now, one of the things I think that's the best part about your about Pick With Austin is that you guys help educate and elevate the community awareness of youth depression and suicide prevention, which is incredibly important and a thing I know that's close to your heart.
Yes.
And close to a lot of our hearts.
Yes.
You know, we've all lost somebody close to us to that.
Mm-hmm. And Or could have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's a great creative outlet to take that sort of energy and put it into something that will be positive and keep you alive.
Yes. Pain can always be transformed. And I think music is a beautiful medium to be able to do that. So
yeah,
glad we can help with that.
Well, I'm glad that you guys are out there. Go to pickwithaustin.com and find out how you can do monetary donations.
Yes.
You can donate instruments. You can get involved.
Yes.
Find out how to get involved by simply going to pickwithaustin.com.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming by. All right, that's Lori Hebert with Pick With Austin. Find those instruments, man. They're doing an instrument drive. Try and get them down there. I know a lot of you guys rehearse at Space. Great sponsor of the show. Take them down to Space. Your old instruments. Look around. There's stuff around that you don't need. Actually, you know what? I just see a kick drum pedal I'm going to give away. All right, let's get to my conversation with the fantastic rock band from New York doing a residency in Texas, my friends, Wild Adriatic. Find out where they will be. They'll be doing some shows in San Antonio, Corpus Christi, and, of course, February 28th and March 7th, both Saturdays at Empire Control Room in Austin. Find out more about them at wildadriatic.com or just sit down and listen to this conversation, which is fantastic. Did I tell you that? All right. Hey, have a great week. We'll see you Friday. I'll be talking to Tommy Mack from Tommy Mack and the Lifters. It's going to be a great show. Let's talk to Wild Adriatic. Let's get down. For me on this too. I know you're gonna film it. You guys are gonna film this.
Is that okay?
It's gonna be in your movie.
At least a little bit. Jake's making a documentary.
Oh no, Jake. Yeah, film all you want. I was just wondering. I know get a lot of pictures while I'm doing these interviews.
I'll take some photos for you.
You guys doing all right? What's wrong, Travis? You look like you're sad. Are you just tired from working all night?
No. I woke up, took a shower, and then came here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what about you, Rich?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I have been recording every day.
You have?
Yeah. All night.
And you guys have been. Did you record that? How do you record? How are you recording this now? Live?
We did the drums and bass. And I did some guitar at home, and then I did the rest of it here.
I wish we did it live, but no live.
Yeah.
Yet. Just we did multi-track.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You do it like you can.
We just don't have the isolation or the channels at the moment.
Right. Oh, so you guys came to Austin to do some writing and recording.
We didn't really come to do recording.
Okay.
Just I had to finish the EP while we were here.
Okay. So you came here to hang out with me time to time for a month?
Play shows, right?
We could catch
with Johnny Yachty.
Catch the reins.
See, yeah, see how many covers you can think of to play.
Yeah,
solo session on the couch.
That was really fun the other night, by the way. Thank you.
Oh, that was absolutely awesome.
Okay, so you guys came to Austin. Why?
Because we needed to. We have an inability to stop like touring.
Yeah,
we're in the north, so we just decided to move, and we need to write. So
yeah,
we're here to write a record.
It's hard to write on the road. Yeah. How do you write as a group? Or, Travis, do you have, like, an outline of something and then everyone kind of speaks up or something?
It varies sometimes. I'll have an outline sometimes of, like, a riff
or
in a chorus, and then I'll just bring it to Rich and Mateo. And sometimes, like, that last song I was just playing you, the newest song.
It's a great song.
That we were just like, let's just do something new. So that just came up with boo-doo-doo-doo-doo, like, right in the practice space, and we just worked off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally just the whole song came together. It was one of those times where you like feel really good because, that came together really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, you guys were probably ready because you've been on. You guys have literally been on the road since the last time. Well, I saw you guys when you were on the road when we had lunch that time.
Yep.
But then you went to Europe and you've been touring the Northeast and you guys go south.
Yeah, we went down to
Florida. You guys went to Florida.
And
Nashville
and all that jazz.
How was that? How was Florida?
That was awesome.
Yeah. That was good. That was like, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Walked on the beach and then drove straight back home to snow.
We pretty much haven't stopped touring since like January 2014. So,
how does that feel? And how is that wearing on you?
awesome. It feels awesome to me. I don't know. I'm not too tired.
Some people
yet.
Are built for the road. Like you seem to be a guy for sure that's always expressing his excitement and enthusiasm for being out there publicly.
A lot of energy.
I see it on the social media.
Oh yeah.
Do you ever teeter? Do you ever crash?
Oh yeah, in Europe, crashed hard, right?
Yeah.
They saw it.
That was long, homesick, you know, being
How long were you there?
5 weeks.
Fuck, that is a long time.
Yeah.
Do you get that feeling sometimes when you're in that kind of situation, like say a week and a half in and you're nowhere near halfway or anything? And like, you know what I mean? Like you kind of start measuring time in your head and then you get that feeling that Major Tom must have had when he went outside of the space capsule. And I say capsule because it's an English dude.
Capsule.
Yeah. It's you know what I mean? Like you're like, oh.
Yeah. That was weird.
I'm not going to be home at all for a while. And you get like a little panicky little like.
I might never
handed.
Go home. Like, what if we don't go home?
Yeah. Did you get that feeling?
I was in some weird emotional denial state until Spain. So the last 2 weeks I started to get like, we've been here for a while and there's kind of a lot of time. Like there was only 2 weeks, but it was like shows every day for those last two weeks.
Yeah.
So that was pretty wearing. There were no days off at the end.
That to me, that's kind of the well, I guess when you're in Europe, you kind of would want a day off so you could go just walk around somewhere all day. Have you guys been there before?
Yeah, no. Well, you Travis has been to Italy.
Yeah, but not nowhere. But we didn't even go to Italy. We did northern Europe and then Spain.
Right.
So,
well, let's talk about the positive stuff because the rock and roll. While it seems like it's not as prevalent in popular culture in America like it used to be at some point, in Europe apparently it's still rocking.
They really like it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
crazy. They just like cherish American rock bands.
Yeah,
yeah. Especially Spain. They're like incredibly. I think they're incredibly passionate people to begin with, but they're so passionate about music.
Super appreciative too, just yeah. like that we were in their town.
Yeah. And
really nice, you know.
So to all the, where all did you play in Spain?
Oh boy.
Madrid, Barcelona, then we did like a bunch of the smaller beach towns, Cangas, Aviles.
Those are the craziest.
Yeah.
The small Spanish towns were insane. They were just people. Everybody was there. Like, what was the name of the tiniest town?
Tordumbara. There was like 300 people in the town.
Tordumbara.
Yeah.
It was like dirt roads leading into the town.
And you guys played there.
And we're like, when we went to set up, we're like, there's this tiny bar. Like,
the only bar in a 40-mile radius.
Yeah.
But the thing is, then we show up later. So we do sound check. There's no, the PA, you know, it's like barely anything.
Sound check.
It's like
the smallest stage you've ever played on. It's crazy.
Smallest stage you've ever played on, yeah. I don't know how anyone other than a three-piece could ever fit on this stage.
Yeah.
But then we come back, like, for the show, and the place is packed. We can barely get in there.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it's packed.
That is so awesome.
On the sides of us, in front of us. Like, everywhere, people.
There's people hanging out on the street, like, outside the windows at some point while we were playing, just like...
Because it couldn't fit.
It couldn't fit inside.
And what was the audience, like, demographically? Like, what was it just across that the
one,
board? Like,
that one
kids
varied.
And parents?
That one was a little older crowd, but it felt like, honestly, it's anywhere from, like, we're getting, like, 21-year-olds to up to, like, you know, 65,
yeah.
you know.
Wow.
Yeah, like, really cool.
And what's their... Like, let me ask you a question. Over there, you see a lot of phone stuff going on while you're trying to play?
A lot of phone stuff?
Yeah, you know.
A lot of pictures, but as much. Not like, a lot of people are trying to take pictures, but they usually have cameras, actual cameras.
Yeah, more regular
cameras.
There's
no texting, though. You're not going to see a guy, like, check his Facebook, you know.
Sometimes
like
in the front row. Yeah, you'll just see a guy or girl just have their phone out and just be looking down at it.
Oh, dude.
Instagramming or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a vibe killer, vibe killington.
Yeah.
I can't wait half an hour.
That's why I try to get in all the selfies and stuff that I can because they should be paying attention.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Rich always sneaks when people are taking selfies of like of them and their friends in the band in the background. Rich will run up. This guy's wireless, so he'll run into the crowd and he'll just photobomb it.
Watch out, I'm coming for you.
Always photobomb it.
Could you use your wireless over there in Europe?
Yeah, actually it made it kind of fun because I would run around in the crowd and
he got up on the bar couple nights because people, they just encouraged him to go insane. So he was like, all right, I'm into it.
They picked me up, actually, one night. They were carrying me around the bar.
I was like, oh, God. I was scared for him.
What were the shows? Were the shows like your own show and that's it?
Yeah.
Or were there showcases?
We played... Two shows that had other bands.
Three shows.
One in France, one in Switzerland.
Oh yeah, France. I forgot.
And then
France.
One in Spain. We played with an American band.
Was a great show. Yeah, we played with a good American band.
In Madrid, we played with Moreland and Arbuckle from Kansas.
I don't know.
They're like a really good just blues band.
Yeah.
And there was like 250 people there. It was awesome. So.
Well, there is an authentically American thing about what you guys do. I mean, it's rooted in the American. Stuff.
Yeah. It's blues.
Yeah.
Blues and soul.
Do you guys ever think how do you classify yourself in that way? Like if you took two bands and crossed them to describe your sound.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting. Two bands?
I can't do it with two for myself. I need four. But you can use four. Let's change the rules for just this one show.
Depends on the song.
Four bands.
I don't know.
That's true.
Zeppelin will always come up, I think.
Yeah. That's the rock. That's the rock and roll aspect.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a Bonham?
I am. I have other influences that are more prevalent in my playing.
Like who?
Like Patrick Callahan.
Who's that?
My Morning Jacket.
Okay. Yeah, that guy's great.
That vibe.
Yeah.
But he's Bonham-y.
I don't know. I like a lot of different stuff. Like vocally, I like different stuff than I like guitar-wise and... I have no idea. That's a hard question.
Rich?
Yeah, Richie.
Who's your bass guy?
Who's my bass guy? I mean...
yeah. Okay, or take a couple of bass guys and be like, oh, you know, man, I'm like, if John Entwistle and Geddy Lee took a shower,
took a shower
with John Paul Jones.
I mean, that sounds probably about right. I get a lot... Oh God, and this is terrible because I can't think of his name right now. Oh. The guy from Thin Lizzy there. People tell me
Phil
I look
Lynott.
Like him.
Yeah.
And then I mean I really like I like John Paul Jones playing.
Yeah.
I also there's a band called Envy on the Coast, and their bass player played his bass up really high, and I used to love that band. And when I started playing bass, I was like, that's where I kind of got, like, he kind of grooved in a certain way, and I kind of got that.
Rich plays his bass so high. Yeah. I used to be way more fat, and like when I put his put Rich's bass on, like I was too fat. It would be like on my chin.
That's crazy. So you made an EP while over, started recording there, finishing it here.
Yeah. Yep.
And what do you at Music Lab? You're just set up there doing it?
Yeah, I took a bunch of my recording stuff down with me, and I set it up in one of the rehearsal spaces there, and boom, knocking out the rest of the EP. It's done tracking, and I finished mixing that song last night, so I could have it for you today.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. And I got to finish mixing the rest of it today. There's only other two other songs to mix. So.
We're sending it out for pressing tomorrow, yeah. So we're under like a bit of a time crunch as Shit. Always. With
yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's what we do.
It's fine.
Is it? I mean, you make records a lot, like other people's records,
yeah.
too. So this isn't, you're not freaking out.
No, I'm not freaking out at all. I'm totally good. Now that I'm done tracking, I'm fine.
Jake, that's a nice camera, man. You ever talk in the interviews? You can use my mic. I'm going to share my mic. Say hi to the people.
Hey, guys.
That's Jake, man. He's a man of few words, but great spaghetti sauce, by the way.
It was really good.
I don't know what the secret was, but and also the
you
bread.
You don't want to know what the secret is.
It's the beard hair.
This is the little
Yeah,
dip.
The little beard hair is in, little dip. It's a spice. It was interesting about finishing the EP here, though, was in the rehearsal spaces you can hear other bands playing, so most of what I had to do was vocals, and I got my condenser mic set up in the practice space, so I'm like, I'm there. What was it?
You have to go there when they open, like at 10. That's what I used
yeah,
to have to
right.
do.
That's never gonna happen for me. two nights ago, I'm tracking vocal, and I'm about to track vocal, so I step up to the mic, and then all of a sudden, boom, bass. Just like the guys next door start playing, shaking my table and my computer. I'm like, oh, crap. I'm getting really frustrated. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do guitar. I had a couple guitar solos I had to do. So I was like, I'm going to do that. So I mic up my guitar, play solo, getting frustrated because I can't get the solo I want to get. Yeah. So I'm like, got to go back to vocal. And I'm getting mad at the guys next door because they're playing, which is what they're supposed to be doing there. And I'm the one who's doing something I'm not supposed to be doing, but I'm getting mad. It was this whole weird psychological breakdown I had the other night. I threw a Gatorade at the wall because I wanted them to stop. It's crazy.
So I know this feeling, man.
Yeah.
I had a room there in 2001. I did in the 90s. I had it a different place, but in 2001, I had a room there. And I used to go in, like I used to wait for the guy to unlock the door. Like I'd get there and have my, whatever breakfast taco and coffee and stuff. And I even brought a coffee maker in there that my aunt sent me. So we had like coffee maker, we had an organ, we had like the biggest room you can get. And we had like two drum sets in there. We had all this recording stuff in there. Like in fact, that same stuff, an organ, that Rhodes, like just a big room, and we also rented a closet, and I never understood. I used to have the worst like arguments with those dudes because I would go in at 11 in the morning and like, hey, what are you doing in here? Well, I'm recording. I'm going to be recording vocals because we recorded music all day yesterday, and they'd be like, oh, okay, cool. And then at noon, they put a metal band, and by the hour, the only other band in the thing in the room next to us. And it would just be like, then I'd like come out there and be like, dude, what gives? Seriously, there's like 200 rooms in here. You could put them even upstairs.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing to me? And they'd be like, well, that's the first room that we put in. That's like number one rent. It's like, can you bend the rules like for people that rent shit all the time and are trying to record?
I
mean,
pay you a lot of
money. I didn't have that same feeling because like I didn't tell anybody I was recording. And like I'm sure like – and these guys definitely have the space next to us. But what was interesting about what was happening when I was recording was they never stopped the band. Like, it was one continuous song for literally, like, an hour and a half. Like, there was no, like, you know how you stop a song, you say, hey, guys, that was pretty good. Maybe we should work on this. Maybe we should work on that. Like, they never stopped.
I actually think that's a band they hire to put in the room next door to do recording vocals.
So just fuck with my head. Ugh.
I kind of almost feel on a on a on an Austin social level and business level, I should cut all of that last part out. okay, no. So let's talk more about Europe, though. Did you get to go to Germany, like the Reeperbahn? Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
What was going on down there?
Some anyway. Sketchy stuff. What do you think is going on down there?
I don't know. I just know from the Beatles stories.
Yeah, we actually we stayed in. In
that closet.
We stayed in Hamburg, and we were, you know, we got shown all over town and saw the clubs they started playing. And
it's the Star Club or something like that?
Yeah.
Right?
And then there was the Indra Club. Indra.
Yeah.
We saw that, and it was really cool, and we saw the statues, and I don't know, it was just hearing that story was neat.
It was really cool just because we played in Hamburg the night before. We had a day off the day after. That's basically what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's good to have a day off in the red light district.
So we got to really explore and walk around, which was really cool. It was one of the only cities that we actually got to do that.
The club invited us back and got us horribly drunk the next
bad,
night.
So yeah.
He's like, let's go to the red light district. We walked down the street just like, oh, God. All right, get out of here. We got to go.
Yeah.
It was creepy.
Yeah. So where else did you go? Did you go to Amsterdam?
No, we did not go to Amsterdam. We only went. Where did we go?
We were in the Netherlands. Holland, we were in Enschede. Enschede.
Enschede.
Yeah, something like that in Holland. That's and that it. Was cool. That was the first.
But that was cool. Show. Yeah, it was fun.
So, all around great. Are you guys going back this year?
We'll go back when the new record comes out, probably 2016.
When it drops.
Okay, so
you're going to put out this EP on March 17th.
Hell yeah. St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patty's Day.
Yep.
And it's going to be in the time of South by Southwest.
That's right.
It's going to be exciting. And you guys are in South by Southwest.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
This is true.
Officially this time.
Yeah.
Not just showing up with our instruments being like, we're here to play. But
my name is Mateo, and I'm here to say my band Wild Adriatic is here to play.
That's how we got on show.
All right, Will Smith.
When I rap, it's always from 1989.
Yeah. Good
That's
year.
That's the only way to be.
Or 86. What's a, is that 86-y?
It'd be 86-y. That's more of the year 87? Of my
birth. 80-sexy.
Are you really born in 86?
Shit, yeah.
I was already in bands.
Were you?
Yeah. I'd cool. already, I was already on like my second comeback.
On my second comeback.
I don't even know what that means.
I was born in 1988.
You were?
Yeah. And Rich, what year were you born?
I was born in 89.
In 89?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. I do. Shit, man.
You're so young.
Guys are young, you know, but seasoned musicians, seasoned. and you're fucking a shit hot band. That honestly, when you're doing your thing, your weekly thing here in Austin at the Empire Control Room, do you consciously change your set every week when you do a residency or something like that?
Well, we haven't done a residency before, and we played one show and.
We are.
I mean,
going
we will
to,
change it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we already wrote two new songs and learned to arrange the new cover that we really want to play out. And,
oh, what's that? Can you say it?
My Sharona by the Neck.
Oh yeah, what a good song.
But that bridge, you know the bridge, it's awful.
We rewrote it.
So we rewrote the
I
entire
love the
bridge.
Bridge.
Oh what?
No, it's way too.
Bam, 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 bam. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would like that.
I mean,
this guy was on his second comeback in 1986.
Sorry. Sorry. I love being insulted. I really do. It really makes me happy. So what did you change it to?
Something awesome.
Okay. So people have to see this.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to explain.
Okay, so you're doing Saturdays at the Empire Control Room. What time do you play? How long is your set? What's the deal?
Well, this Saturday we play at 7:30. We're playing 45 minutes, pretty much.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. And then next Saturday we play at, midnight, right after RJD2. And then the Saturday after that we play at 11 p.m.
Okay. So different times, but the same, you know.
Same
right.
Night.
Okay. I think this is going to come out on Tuesday. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
Okay, good.
We love Tuesday.
You do?
It's my favorite day of the week.
It's my favorite day of the week.
Tuesday. It's what I love about Tuesday.
So,
Craig Morgan.
So, where all do you guys tour in the Northeast? You go all the way up to Maine and Vermont and
everywhere.
And
Yeah.
And how does this
Greenland? No.
Well, how did you tour in Europe? Did you guys have a Sprinter?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, like a Sprinter.
Lucky, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Mercedes Sprinter.
Small van.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sprinter's a really nice. Almost like a home.
Yeah, it's
huge, you know what I mean?
You can fit so much stuff in there.
Yep. Yeah.
It was funny, though, because it was so big, and we're like three guys.
Yeah. We're right. The smallest band they've had tour.
Oh, did they? Jake didn't go with you?
No, unfortunately.
They didn't clear his...
Thanks for rubbing that in, Johnny, by the way.
Yeah, he's really happy about it.
Sorry, guys.
It's expensive to get that beard over there.
Yeah.
We just don't have the products.
They only have
it, like, before we went, I would always talk about Europe, like Jake was coming. I would always forget that he couldn't.
And he'd just be looking at Travis staring daggers.
I'd be like, yeah, when we go, I'd be like, yeah, when we... And just like, yeah, I'd be like, oh, whoops, sorry, man.
There was something I was totally going to say. Are you guys are going to, like, you're playing, like, in San Antonio. Have you guys ever been to San Antonio and played?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
On your last tour?
Yeah. Fourth or fifth time.
Yeah. Good. You guys, how does that turn out? Like, you said that you had, like, young people coming in Europe and stuff. What's the crowd like when you tour around America? Was it, like, in the Northeast? Is it different than the crowd that you get when you come to Texas?
It varies, but it's very humbling in America compared to Europe. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. People are way less impressed.
Yeah. I mean,
in America.
It's just harder to get, it's hard to get people out.
I don't know, really, because you guys have that ethic of, like, you know, almost like that James Brown, that old school ethic, like, you know, you'd throw down. Like, I even saw you guys do a couple songs at Joe's Crab Shack during South by Southwest, like, mm-hmm. on a porch.
10 or 10,000.
You know,
man,
what I'm talking about?
Play the same show.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
We're really lucky because we have some spots, you know, obviously back home in Albany and, you know, like out like Midwest, like this place, Appleton, Wisconsin. Like there's like these cities and towns that really love music. And when we go there, people come out and they're given just as much as we're trying to give them, you know, and the vibe there is really cool. And then when we play places for the first time, sometimes it's rough.
Yeah.
Just like you said, like, it's just, they're not quite the same.
We're just relentless, though. Yeah. We just keep going back to cities. Like Charlotte, we've been back like five times, and now we finally drew like 40 people, and we were happy with that. You know, I mean, we'll just keep going back.
It's an upgrade from two.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's where we started in Charlotte. We drew two people in a tiny little room.
At a house bar.
Well, it takes, strange. It. I mean, how long have you guys been playing?
We've only
together.
Been touring for like two and a half years.
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a long time. Even, like, you know, everything does.
We're just super impatient, you know?
I know.
Actually, I think we're pretty patient, actually. Yeah. We say we're impatient, but we're pretty patient.
I think that if a band can suck it up the first, like, 4 years, you know what I mean? You'll cross a line. If you do it smart and just keep on going to the same places and keep, you know...
Yeah,
making new music and keep, like, bringing. You guys have a lot of new merch all the time, and you know,
Mateo loves merch,
dude. I think it's really good. Don't people pick it up? I mean, when you got,
we make a lot of money.
40 people at your show, and you know, six of them buy T-shirts and two of them buy sweatshirts.
There's shows where we make $100 to support a band, and then we'll make $800 on the merch table.
That's what I'm talking about.
Have the merch setup of a band that's touring arenas.
I'm obnoxious with that.
Maybe more.
I like it.
We opened for Hanson once, and they didn't even take credit cards, so bring it on.
Hanson.
Why? Sorry. Don't tell people
that.
Funny.
Why? No, there's nothing wrong with that. I have had a lot of people on this show involved with Hanson.
The Hanson. Well, hey, they're great, and that was fun, but it's just like, that was like 3 or 4 years ago.
It was forever ago, yeah.
It doesn't even count anymore.
I met the guy that sings.
Taylor.
Tay.
And he was really nice.
They're sweet dudes. They came back and talked to us.
Oh, they were very good. Nice. They were very, very nice people.
Told us to fuck off, and it was really, it was a good moment.
No, they were good.
They were nice dudes.
But. Who else have you opened for that's weird? Or not weird?
Starship? Grand Funk was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great show. They were super nice and super nice to us. It was
Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler, yeah, we did that.
Oh, Blues Traveler.
We played with Soul Live over the summer at a festival, and they were really, really nice.
That was one set I saw that I just really enjoyed.
Really?
Like, yeah. I don't know
if you've seen them before. No. They're a trio. They're badass. Like organ guitar and drums.
Yeah. The guy basically plays bass.
Does
with
the bass pedals?
He's like got a Nord for bass, and then he plays a B3. He just shreds it. These guys are the drummer and the
fucking hate people.
And
like
the,
that.
Dude, the keys player brothers.
Dirty.
Oh, dang, they're so good. They have a whole album of Beatles songs called Rubber Soul Live.
Oh, awesome.
And it's so good. Anyway.
That sounds great.
We like music.
Hey, check this out. I remembered what I was going to ask you guys.
Here we go.
A lot of people I've had this conversation with about Spotify. And you guys have your gems on Spotify. In fact, that's how I was listening to them before you guys came over. Where do you stand on that? Because you live off of your merch and shit.
I have a staunch stance on
this. Do you find that, okay.
Well, I love it. I think without Spotify, we'd be in a weird way. We have about 1 million plays on there so far, and we haven't made a ton of money off there, but we make about the same amount off Spotify as we do in iTunes sales every month. So for us, like, I don't know. And so many people come out to shows and say, oh, I heard you on the Happy Hipster playlist or something on Spotify. And it's like, okay, cool. And then they came in and checked out a show, or they bought a shirt, or they bought the CD.
It's just evolving the way, like, you have to evolve when the music industry is changing and just embrace it. People try to fight it so much. It's going
to
happen.
Try to fight it.
It's better than this than Napster when, you know, all the music was just, people were just taking it, you know, and people are torrenting less now. At least people are paying anything for music right now. And I think it's going to grow and evolve to where artists will be able to be paid more and it'll be a little more on our terms. But right now it's just not. And so it's like, why fight against that and not make it available to people?
But you are benefiting from it in some way where people are coming out to the shows and maybe buying one of your many without different merchandise.
Right, and if we weren't playing live, we'd be, you know, screwed. Like, so for a live band like us, it really doesn't affect us as much because most of our stuff is coming from, like, our live performances. I could see why, like, an electronic act who's mostly in the studio and just wants to sell his tunes might be more affected by something like that.
I find that it's older artists that are against it, and people that, and actually the people that I know are like that I've argued with about it on here are like Tony Scalzo, the guy from Fastball that wrote The Way. Mm-hmm. Well, so obviously he's got families, you know, he's got kids and, you know, shit, he lives off of that money. And his quote was, my income has been decimated by that, but I don't know how he would make much more money off of iTunes.
You gotta tour.
You know what I mean?
Well, you gotta either write a new song, Tony, or tour more.
Whoa.
That's pretty good. I know, but I mean, like, seriously.
He's written a lot of new songs. I think they're recording a new album with Frenchie, actually.
Yeah, they're actually recording right now. Yeah, so shut your hole.
Listen, I'm just saying.
I'm gonna have to go in and edit the shit out of this show.
Listen, we've all said things.
Yeah, we've all said things.
I think you just got a tour. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. Like, you just... It requires it at this point. And,
it does.
And think of other ways to
make
money.
And it's hard.
There's other ways to make money off touring, too. Like,
that's hard.
You know, bands are doing streams and stuff like that. And
do you guys do that? You ever do live... what's it called? What's that thing called when you play in your house? And you?
Oh, like... No, we haven't done one of those, called? But...
My friend Kathy does it.
I don't know what it's called.
Live stream.
Whatever. They're live streaming shows that you stream from your house and someone pays either what they want or a cover charge.
Yeah, but there's also, like, you can stream your actual show. You can get companies to come out and do the video and audio for that.
Yeah,
and
there's
pay a service.
Yeah. There's actually a place here called Strange Brew that actually advertises on this very show, Strange Brew Lounge Side, where they stream their shows. And people can tip online when they're watching.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, because they pay me at the end of the night and go like, oh, hold on, this is the live stream tip.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Good money.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Gotta
nice
check
people.
That place out.
Future. It's the future.
Do you think that is?
Right now is the future.
But you still got a tour. I mean, I get watching a thing, but
you got
to
tour.
Oh, no,
you
got to
be. You got to be in the place with the people.
Oh, there's
to
nothing
experience
like
the music.
I mean, anything in life, you got to be in the place with the people.
You know, yesterday I had these guys in here from this band Roxy Roca, and they have an album coming out. They're against Spotify because of a different reason.
Hit me.
Check this out. They feel that it's too easy. You're not investing enough time enough of yourself into getting this song. You're not going somewhere. Like, oh, hold on. And so it's cheapening your experience that would be a much richer experience had you sacrificed it. I mean, and also the guy that was telling me that was born in like 1967. You were born in 1986.
That's a roundabout
when I was staging my second comeback.
That's a roundabout way of saying the same thing.
What do you mean?
The same argument. Like, you're not trying hard enough to get
that
music.
That's not what I'm saying. Is that look, when say I was a kid, I would hear a song on the radio and I couldn't Shazam it. and I'd have to figure it out, either sing it or go to a guy at a place, you know, at the record store, and like, mm-hmm. hey, man, yeah, I heard this song, and it's this guy, kind of sounds like Elton John, but with a guitar solo or something, and then they'd send you to the... Like, was it this?
It's like saying you should still shovel your snow because that was the way we used to do it. Well, they make snow blowers, so just fucking use the snow blower.
I also had this conversation.
But
snowblowers and shovels, rakes and leaf blowers.
I get it.
Anything.
I had this conversation with Frenchie because Frenchie's from a small town in Oklahoma. And that guy would have to drive 2.5 hours to get to a record store that was cool enough to carry the records that he wanted to get, mm-hmm. you know? And there was a certain amount of sacrifice. There was a quest. There was a thing you did. You saved up money to get something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Things like this. And that's, I think, what they're saying. I don't think they're that off point with that. I mean, I
that's cool.
I think that there's something about it because like when I was a kid, you know, when I got a new Kiss record, like when I got like Love Gun, I took it to school and I was just like, like it meant so much to you. Like kind
people
of the way
with Spotify now though. If the people that have found our songs on Spotify are championing our band.
That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear the argument because it's not going away.
You're gonna, don't take your music away from people.
Like, no. Right. The people that are going to buy it are going to buy it. Like the same, it's going to be the same outcome either way. The real music lovers and the real fans are going to support you.
Yeah.
And it's just making it more accessible to everybody. And like, yeah, there'll be people who just stream it and not care, but the people who actually care and genuinely like your music and are a fan will buy your merch, will buy your CD, will come to your shows. It's just getting it out there to more people. So it's better this way.
It's a revenue stream we didn't have before, honestly. Before Spotify started paying us, we weren't making that extra, you know, couple hundred to $1,000 a month. So it's like, why? We're not here to complain. we're pumped.
You're not complaining, are you?
No,
Rich?
Not at all. I'm very content.
He's more complacent as... Ooh. Really.
That sounds bad, doesn't it?
No.
Doesn't.
Isn't that worse than being content?
What kind of amp do you use, Rich? Let's talk gear. Let's switch gears here and talk gear.
I use a Ampeg SVT vintage reissue.
Sweet. 100 watts?
300 watts.
Whoa. And then the whole 810?
No, I wish. 410? I use a 410, okay. Yeah.
That's cool.
Thank God.
And what kind of bass do you run?
Currently, I've been rocking a Fender American P bass.
Oh, sweet.
I do play a Rickenbacker 4003.
Oh, nice.
But the P bass seems to have a little bit more balls to it, so I've been using that a lot.
Do you run any effects?
I do. I use a Big Muff Deluxe, and I also use...
Do you find that there's not a satisfying enough bass fuzz pedal? Because I have a friend that is secretly creating one.
I'm interested in that.
I would like you to meet him while you're here.
I would very much like that also. I have struggled a little bit. I started with a few other fuzz pedals that I bought a couple and they didn't have what I needed. They were just, they weren't wet enough in the fuzz, I guess. You know?
Are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter.
Bass players listening to this, if you know of a fuzz that you could help Rich with, tweet at him. What are you?
I'm at Derby Meyer. Is my
or at
name.
Wild Adriatic.
Or at Wild Adriatic.
Yeah, let's do at Wild Adriatic.
Sorry, yeah, that one. Probably
the name of the band. Well, one that people can spell it.
Well, they'll get it. Okay, so they'll find you from there.
Yes.
They'll find him.
But yeah, I also, for any bass players listening, I've been digging the bass whammy. I actually just picked that up this year.
Is that different than the regular whammy?
It's got a few different options on it. It can go down, well, obviously, it goes down lower.
Well,
yours goes down.
It's just formatted for bass, for when you do the octaves up, it keeps the low frequencies more in check, basically.
It just tracks a little bit better. I've played a few other octaves, and this seems to track better than most other pedals I've tried.
Right.
So,
what do you do, like, in a trio situation, when you go to a solo, mm-hmm. there's a certain amount of frequency that drops out. What do you do as the guy kind of holding down the music while he goes into this sort of like improvisational thing or whatever it may be? What are you doing to compensate? Are you staying in the same place or do you change your shit up when that space gets void?
It's definitely varied amongst the songs. There's some really quiet bluesy songs that like one of which We did, actually, it's going to, I think it's going to be on the EP coming out. But it's just, it doesn't need a lot. It didn't need, you know, I didn't need to click on a fuzz or add an octave or anything, just because it allows for that space in the song. It allows Travis's solo to breathe a little bit more. But then some of the more rocking stuff, I'll throw on my big muff. I might click on the octave if it you know, calls for it. But generally, I just fuzz it up a little bit more and take a little bit more of that bottom end.
That's good.
So,
what about you, Travis? What's your gear scene? What amp do you play live?
I've been playing a Fender Vibro King since 2010, actually.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's 310s, and it's very interesting. I have a love-hate relationship with it. sometimes I hate it, but everybody tells me they love it all the time. So, and then sometimes I love it, too. So I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Everyone just hates you.
Maybe.
Do you use different guys for recording? Like when you're recording, you switch it up a little bit?
Actually, for the record, I use the Vibro King the entire time for the full length. And for this EP.
Okay.
Actually, no. One song I used, I just got a 66 Fender Bandmaster recently. I used that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Very different. But I use my main guitar, which I love a lot, is my Gibson ES-335. It's a 63 reissue, actually. It's only a couple years old. I got it when we started playing as a three-piece, just like kind of as like a little therapy guitar. And, like, you know, something that was going to be full.
Yeah.
That I felt was going to be full.
Right.
And I've been playing it nonstop since then. And it's I love it. It's totally, like, it's just awesome. It's just always been awesome. I still love it.
Good.
Yeah.
What's your effects scene?
You know, I'm not huge on effects, honestly. I have a few overdrives. So I run the Vibro King like mostly clean, so I use pedals for overdrive. Yeah. I have a this thing called a ZVEX Box of Rock, which I use quite a bit.
It's a popular pedal.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a little bit Marshall-y, but through the Vibro King, it's somewhere in between. Like,
as long as we're talking shit on this show, I think that guy charges way too much for his pedals.
With ZVEX?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot
fucking talking crazy.
Shit. They're custom painted though.
They're that's they don't.
Dude,
I have
my
a non
custom painted.
I have a non custom painted pedal, so it was not as much money.
Fuck that guy.
But yeah, he makes. That's the only pedal of his that I've actually. Yeah. I've tried a lot of other ones. That's the only one I really like. But and I use a. I just got this King of Tone by Analog Man.
Yeah.
Which is like one of the, like, if you look on the internet, it's like, you know, this hyped up pedal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I liked it a lot, and I use it over in Europe constantly. And something happened to it, and it's not working right now correctly. It sounds terrible. And I meant to bring it to try to get it fixed, and I left it at home like a fool.
I've got a pedal guy for you if you need one.
Yeah.
You know what? You should try his pedal. He's got this pedal called 4049. I wonder if he'll hook
4049?
You up. Yeah, it's nice.
What
it's
is
what
it?
I'm
is
using.
It overdrive?
It's a distortion, yeah. Overdrive.
Distortion,
and
overdrive.
It's a little boosting.
Yeah, but
as well. Two switch.
I love overdrives.
Green light, blue light.
I'm always searching for like the best overdrive, and then I'm like, maybe it's my amp. Yeah, that's why the Vibro King. It's a very bright amp. It's very like slappy and smacky, but I use a whammy, also a regular guitar whammy for a lot of stuff, and I use a big muff sometimes, and just a little like carbon copy delay, and that's really it.
I like a carbon. I just got one a few months ago. I like it a lot. I put it on my pedalboard. Yeah. I like that weird chorus action that you can do, like the tape while.
Oh, the mod.
Yeah.
I got two new guitars yesterday, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
Where?
At Austin Vintage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great place. Who'd you talk to, Steve?
I don't know.
Oh. There's good dudes over there, man.
Yeah, they're all
guitar.
Really, everybody over there is super nice.
Yeah,
super
yeah.
Nice. But I actually had this Les Paul. It was a 76 that I liked. I played that for a while before I got the ES, but then I totally stopped playing it. And I've really, like, totally, completely fell out of love with it. And it just wasn't playing the way I liked, and it wasn't giving me anything I needed. And I wanted something different, and I kind of had Strat fever for a while. So I traded it in for a Strat, which I'm really digging so far.
I think it's good to get a Strat in Austin.
Yeah.
That's, like, good. That's a good vibe.
Yeah,
because
it feels
good. Because this is a pretty stratty town.
It's a stratty town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
it is.
But,
it really
and then
is.
I was like, so I got the Strat, and then I like, but the Les Paul was worth more than the Strat. So I was like, now I need a backup guitar like that has humbuckers for the ES, though, because if I break a string live, blah, blah, what am I going to do? So they had this Epiphone Sheraton, but I didn't like it at all. I was just like, I'm not digging this, you guys. You know, I was like, maybe you could order me another one. This one's not doing it for me. It was just that one. I've played them before, played ones that were okay. They were very understanding of it. And I was like, I played this Fender Starcaster, though, which is a bit more money.
It's pretty good.
They were very, very cool about it. They are very cool. And they helped me out, so I was able to get the Strat and the Starcaster.
The show is brought to you by Austin Vintage Guitars.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. Well, you know, that's what happens.
Mateo, on the drum set.
Yeah.
What's your... Do you guys have endorsements? Like strings or cymbals or sticks?
I do have one, but I still can't afford the one I have.
Oh, okay.
Mateo. No, we don't really have endorsements.
Drums.
I'm playing 65 Ludwigs.
Ooh.
But I'm real hard have the itch to get out of them.
Yeah? What are you thinking about getting into?
I'm going to probably get a new like custom something. I don't know. I'm talking to a few different drum companies.
About oh, really?
Working with them.
Up north?
Yeah, there's one in Boston, and then there's like, you know, a couple national companies.
Nice, man.
But I want to find just like, I'm going to get a bigger kit.
Bigger?
Yeah, like more pieces.
More pieces.
And a bigger kick drum and stuff like that.
He's going to get a rack.
I'm not going to get a rack.
I missed the rack from when I was a kid.
I don't want a rack, but I do. I just need a few more things.
I remember when our drummer was so excited, he got tuxedo cases and a rack. He was really excited.
That's
and
next level.
Two new splash cymbals.
Splash.
Two splashes.
This was 1989.
That's bold.
Yeah.
Double splash?
Double splash. Well, no, I think he used like four because he would do fills on them.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
Simple fills.
It wasn't, I mean, that's a thing. He had a piccolo snare. It was a whole, it was a movement at the time.
Were you in Dave Matthews Band?
No.
Sounds like
this way predated Dave Matthews Band.
Interesting.
Dave? But this guy was like into the GRP records, like the Dave Weckl cats.
Gotcha. Okay.
Stuart Copeland's piccolo guys.
You need as many different kind of sounds all over the drum kit as possible.
Okay, so I went through this gear thing because the other day somebody told me that I never talk about gear on my show and that I have all these people. And it's like no one ever knows what anybody plays. So we just went off on that gear thing.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. If you enjoyed the gear thing, you can go to our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here, and say, hey, I enjoyed the gear thing. If you did not enjoy the gear thing, go to our Facebook page and say, hey, dude, I did not enjoy this gear thing. I don't care what people are playing on. I know this guy plays bass. I don't give a shit if it's a Fender, Rickenbacker, or Sears.
I would care a lot.
I know. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
As a gear nerd, you know?
Let's say people can find Big Suspicious, which is available always on Spotify, iTunes, and at the shows, LP.
Yep.
And CD.
Yes.
Indeed. I have an LP.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I have two. Appreciate thanks to you guys.
Oh, do we?
I also have a pint glass, a Wild Adriatic pint glass. I have a Wild Adriatic lighter that ran out of fluid.
We got an extra one for you.
Thank you. I have a Fro shirt.
Jesus.
And I have a regular Wild Adriatic shirt, which I enjoy wearing on stage under a jacket.
I saw that. Yeah. It's a great shirt.
Thank you. It's a good shirt.
Looks great on you,
by the way. Thank you, buddy. So I do. Everyone should get out there to the Empire Control. Basically, if they go to wildadriatic.com and look up the shows, find out when and where you're playing.
Yep, we're on Facebook.
Follow you guys. You're in the East Coast. You do West Coast?
Not yet. No,
that's cool. I like the East Coast better than that. Here we go. As long as we're talking shit,
You hate the whole West Coast.
You're alienating a lot of people.
That's I'm just joking.
We have a lot of listeners in California and in Portland.
Not anymore.
So
nice knowing you guys.
I was only joking because without that coast, I love the West.
I used to live in California.
Without that coast,
I lived in California too.
We're brothers.
I lived in Marin County.
Okay.
And then also, I lived in the California part of Lake Tahoe.
Ooh, I did L.A., so it was way different for me.
Spent time in L.A., a lot of time. I like it.
It's a good place.
Yeah.
If you want to lose your soul.
Hey, West Coast guys. I was just mending these fences. I was just mending these fences.
L.A. traffic or Austin traffic?
It's you know what? It's one and the same. The only thing about Austin and L.A. traffic that's different is you got a longer way to go in L.A. So
that's why it's a bigger city.
But I mean, it's just as, I mean, it might be suckier here. I think that this where I live on Riverside, that part of 35 mm-hmm. is in the top five worst traffic freeways in America.
Yeah.
We try to stay off that.
Yeah.
We learned pretty quickly.
I was like, maybe it's better this time of day. No.
No. No. No. Is there anything I'm missing before you go?
New EP out March 17th.
That's right. Do you have a name for it?
Never Enough.
All right.
Because it's never enough. We're never going to stop.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah, it just keeps going.
Is it going to come out? It's going to come out on CD.
Hell yeah.
Is it going to be a 7-inch or something vinyl?
Nah,
no. No.
It's really expensive.
Yeah, you guys, you got to focus on the next one.
We're going to wait for the next record.
Okay.
For that.
Do you know what you're doing for your next record yet?
We're talking to a few different people. Okay. We want to find a producer.
I don't want
to
do it.
Good record. Yeah, yeah. We don't want to do it ourselves.
I think sometimes you want to just go in and be the artist, right?
That's exactly what I want
to
do.
You don't want to have this. I want to go from the interview back to mixing the thing.
Even when I'm walking into St. Elmo's recording, I'm just like, I just want to play. I don't want to mess around with the computer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to touch any buttons. I just want to play my guitar, record my parts.
I don't want to work. I want to bang on a drum all day.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. Yeah.
In a nutshell. Wild Adriatic, Mateo, Travis, Rich.
Johnny.
Motherfuckers. And Jake, background Jake, taking pictures, making movies.
Doing
did you get some
solos.
Good? Did you
playing lead merch.
Hey, listen, when you guys are out there and you go see Wild Adriatic, say you see them while they're visiting Texas and you heard them on the show and you don't get to tell them yourselves, tell Jake, I heard you guys on the show. And, you know.
If you do that, you get a free piece of merch. We'll give you a free koozie or a lighter or something.
Seriously. I don't know if you know the millions of people that listen to this.
Bring it on. We got a million lighters we're ready to give out.
I will happily, if that happens, I would happily give up the merch.
Yeah, come be our friend. We don't care. We'll give it away.
You heard it here first. Wild Adriatic, you guys are fantastic. I'm glad that we're friends. I'm glad that, here's another level of our friendship that I'm enjoying. If I have you guys on my podcast, you guys come on, you talk about yourselves. That way, when we just hang out, I'll just talk about myself the whole
time. That's the perfect setup.
I'll just start a podcast so you can talk about it. It's called Johnny Gowdy.
I love you guys. I'm glad you're here.
Love you too, man.
Wild Adriatic. You guys, man, get out there and get involved with them. WildAdriatic.com. If you live in Austin, they will be at a couple more Saturdays at the Empire Control Room, February 28th and March 7th. And, of course, they'll be here for all of South by Southwest. You can go to WildAdriatic.com, find out what's going on, and find out where those South by Southwest shows are if you are in fact in Austin during South by Southwest. So this Friday, they'll be in San Antonio at the 502 Bar and March 5th at the House of Rock in Corpus Christi. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank Wild Adriatic for coming down. I really enjoyed the show the other night when I saw them at Empire Control Room. They are a fantastic band. Go see them live. The energy, the songs, the playing, it's all fucking there, okay? These guys are masters of rock. Bow down. And while you're on the internet checking out Wild Adriatic, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on your phone and pad. You can subscribe to us on Stitcher. You can favorite us, and then you will get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday when they come out. I want to thank Wild Adriatic for coming on the show. I love those guys. Don't forget you can also like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And if you want to get really involved, you can follow me in my life on Instagram and on Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy. Okay? Let's listen to some more Wild Adriatic. Don't forget they have a new EP dropping March 17th. So get out there, check out wildadriatic.com. Let's get down.
If you get lost, run away. You can't remember my name. Know that I'm yours. I will stay. Babe, I will stay. I've been lost. I was looking for something. Played my cards and baby got nothing. I was living my life, hoping I'd meet you someday. You took my hand and you showed me the real thing. I got friends of mine who wish they had something. Now we're living our lives. I'm hoping we'll marry someday. And if you get lost, run away. And you can't remember my name. Know that I'm yours. I will stay. Babe, I will walk for miles if you needed loving. Cross through fire that burns through my own skin. I would lay down my life just to know you're not in pain. If you get lost, run away. You can't remember my name. Know that I'm yours. I will stay, babe, I will stay. Now it's clear to me that things ain't what they seem. Like the love we share can only mean one thing. You can't remember my name. No, I'm yours. I will stay back.